We're in week six of a series that we've entitled, Don't Be the Biggest Loser. And the biggest loser, as we've been describing it, is somebody who chooses to miss out on what God has for them. And the Bible actually documents several people who that God's thought it wise to include their story, a story of missing God completely. Even worse, they were missing God because they chose to do that. We looked at the rich young ruler. We've looked at Lot's wife. We looked at Judas. We looked at the criminals on the cross. And last week, we looked at Cain. And this week, we're looking at three people who unfollowed Jesus. Today, we're asking this question, how important is following Jesus to me? Now, if you came today looking for hope, for peace, for purpose, for focus to your life, then I've got some good news for you, because there is hope found in Jesus. And today, at the end of the message, I'll give you an opportunity to receive that hope. I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 9. We're going to be reading today at the New Living Translation, or NLT. When you came in today, you should have received a bulletin. And inside that bulletin, there's some notes where you can follow along with today's message. There's some fill-in-the-blanks. The answers will be up on the screen as we head along and exploring God's Word for us. And we encourage you to hold on to these notes, to not just discard them once you've filled in all the blanks, but really to hold on to them and bring them back out this next Thursday. Reread the passage. Reread the points. Reread the key box there in the middle. Or excuse me, today it's at the bottom. And really see for yourself, just really, is this what God's Word is saying to me? And don't just take my word for it. But here we are, we're looking at Jesus. He is going around and he is teaching, he is healing people, he has had followers that he's called close to him, he has followers who have just been around him, he's had crowds, he's had multitudes. People are around Jesus and they're seeing what he's doing, they're seeing what he's all about. And a lot of people want to be near him. And not just near him, they want to follow him. So it's in this moment of time that Jesus is saying what it costs to follow him. And so we're reading in Luke chapter 9, verses 23 to 26, and it says this. Then he, Jesus, said to the crowd, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross daily and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but are yourself lost or destroyed? If anyone is ashamed of me and my message, the Son of Man will be ashamed of that person when he returns in his glory and in the glory of the Father and the holy angels. Let's pray. God, I pray that in the next few moments as we unpack your word for us today, God, that you would speak to us. Lord, when we're looking at this idea of what's most important to me, God, will you reveal where we stand with you? In Jesus' name, we all said, amen. Now, up on the stage, I've got this big metal board. And we're going to do something with it right now, but I'm going to need a volunteer to help me out. Now, I need a certain kind of volunteer, not just someone who is willing to come up on this stage, because it's kind of a scary thing to do to come up here, but it's also somebody who feels like they know how things should work in life, that you understand how things should work. And so I'm looking for any volunteers. I need your hand to be raised. Tom, I saw your hand. Tom, come on up here. I mean, it went up and down really fast, and Tom, come on up here. Let's give a hand for Tom as he comes up here. Okay, Tom, this board represents your life, okay? And what we're about to do, there you go. He's going to play some music with it. There you go. So it kind of looks like that way. It looks like somebody's piece of roof is missing. There you go, off a shed or something. But here's what's going to happen, Tom, is that my assistant, Aubrey, here is going to give you a board. Let's go ahead and give her one. Give him one. Go ahead and give him one. Okay. So what we have here is we have a board or a sign that says work. You're going to attach it with the magnets on this board. And I want you to think about this. the higher up on the board is most important to you, and the farther down on the board is least important to you. So go ahead and place that. Horizontally, of course. Go ahead. More important or least important? Okay, we see where he put it. So we're now going to give him another board. And with this board, here's what I want you to do, Tom. This one says self-care. Would you rank in your life as self-care as more important than work or less important than work? And place it on the spot above or below. Self-care, taking care of yourself. Maybe how you take care of your body, or maybe take care of your mental health, or maybe take care of your education. Kind of how you invest in yourself. There you go. Okay. Now our next sign says money. Okay, so Tom, same deal here. Is this more important than self-care, less important than work, or does it fall in the middle between self-care and work? Here's a guy who knows where he stands with these things. Okay, let's get the next one. Okay. On this board, it says friends. Where would friends rate? You can move them. Okay, there we go. He's putting it at the top. This next one says marriage. Uh-oh, I'm sorry, Nancy. Oh, there we go. It was Valentine's Day, right? He put it up there, okay. We've got a technical difficulty here going on. We're fixing a word. Okay, the next board says family. Okay, there we go. So right now he has listed marriage, family, friends, self-care, work, money at the bottom. And we have one last board here, Tom. Where's this one going? This one says God. Where does God rate on all that? Oh, there we go. There we go. Let's give a hand to Tom, who has put this in a list order. Thank you very much, sir. Now, I need to know, this is Tom's list. Tom took these. There was no right or wrong answers here. This is his list. I am wondering that as you're looking at this list, is there anyone in here that would change the order at all for you, that you use? Someone would change the order. Noah, I see your hand raised. Come up here and change it for you. Uh-oh. Okay. You got to hurry. Sprint. There we go. He's listening. There we go. Okay, change it for you real quickly. Okay, let's give a hand to Noah, who's expressed his order. Now, this is Noah's list of prioritizing these things in Noah's life. Is there anybody that for your life, it would look different than what Noah's put up? Kate, come change it. She's been taking pictures, and she just gave instructions that don't take a picture of her. I'm sure John is not listening. Okay. Oh, man. And last but not least, is there anybody here who would change it for them based off what you're seeing up here that you would do it differently? Tracy, come on up here, Tracy. She's going to tell us her order of this. Oh, I think I know what's coming. There we go. Awesome. Let's give a hand to Tracy there. You know, we could keep repeating this for every single person in the room, and it's going to be different, right? Because it's about you. It's about, this. What we're doing here is we are sharing what our priorities are. And priorities are the list that we make about what is most important in our life. What is most important? And many things help us to define this list. Maybe it's what we were taught. Maybe it's what was modeled for us, whether it was modeled correctly or maybe it was modeled incorrectly and we decided to do things different with our life. Maybe it's because we've experienced joy by prioritizing something, or maybe we've been hurt by prioritizing something. You know, priorities are a good thing. And in this passage, Jesus was sharing the cost of following him. He was sharing what you needed to do. He was giving instructions, and he was trying to be really clear. So he had this huge crowd, and he's telling them, if you want to follow me, here's what you've got to do. I think he kind of spelled it out. I know he didn't have a microphone, but I hear that people were able to hear him. Okay? He was trying to make it really clear. Now, for me, I try to make things pretty clear, but I found that no matter how you try to make things clear, there's just one place on this planet where it doesn't matter what you write, it doesn't matter how clear you are, you're going to find the one person in the area who's not very smart. And that's Facebook Marketplace. So I'm now going on 3 weeks that my truck has been in a shop. And it seems that with every week they want to keep my truck, it's because they keep on finding stuff wrong with it and they want me to give them more money. It's like they're holding it hostage. It's like, oh, we thought it was this bad, but whoa, when we got into it, it's worse and it's worse. And so I'm thinking, how am I going to do this? So I got to sell stuff I own and put it on Facebook Marketplace, try to get the cash to be able to get my truck back. The last set of repairs he told me, he said, hey, here's what it is, here's the new cost. And I said, okay, go ahead and do it, but you might be keeping my truck for a while as I try to get the money together to get it back. And so I'm writing on Facebook, and I'm looking for things to sell, and Shalee told me I couldn't sell any of my children. So she also told me I couldn't sell any of her stuff. And she said, and while you're thinking about it, you can't sell any of the kids' stuff. So that means I can only sell my stuff. And so I'm selling electronics. I'm selling computer parts and computers I'm putting together. And so I just had somebody write me even this morning. I have a laptop up for sale. And they asked, does it hold a charge? And I'm thinking, in the description, holds charge. They're like, does it come with a power adapter? In the description, comes with charger. Another person writes me, they're like, what version of Windows is on this thing in the picture I'm looking at? In the description, Windows 10, build 1903, latest copy. I mean, you try to be clear, and you find the person who doesn't read. It's frustrating. My favorite, though, is when people write, is this still available? And I could read you every post I've ever put on Facebook Marketplace that says, if you are reading this, it's still available. You know, when we have priorities and when they're clear to us, decisions are easy. You know, if you prioritize self-care, then the decision of where you're going for lunch today is going to be a little easier. Because you may say, I've got to take care of this body. I've got to do something. I've got to choose something. And so you're prioritizing this, and it helps make decisions. You know, maybe you're prioritizing your work. And you're saying, hey, you know, there's a goal of where I want to be. And so I know sometimes I'm going to have to make hard decisions, and I'm going to have to suffer. I'm going to sacrifice. But I have a dream job I am working towards. You've prioritized it. It helps make decisions. Maybe you've prioritized your family. And so when your kids keep on coming home with permission slips and I need money and I'm signed up for this activity, I need a ride to this practice and everything, you're like, okay, I'm going to do it. The decision's easy because I prioritize my family. Maybe the decision to go on a date is important to you, that you want to make sure this month doesn't go by without a date happening besides February 14th, because you're prioritizing your marriage. Maybe you have goals that you want to go take a trip somewhere. Maybe you want to have the best Christmas ever later this year. Maybe you want to go and take a vacation, but you got to save for it. You have goals, so you're going to prioritize that. I'm going to manage my money well. Decisions are easy when your priorities are clear. How about in this area, if we prioritize God, and God's a part of our life, then we prioritize what we do related to God. That might include showing up, coming to church, being involved, serving. Shows our priorities. Our decisions are easy when priorities are clear. Now, it's interesting that Jesus was very clear that this is what it takes to follow me. And when he got done speaking that day, some people waited to talk to him afterwards. And so they come up to him, these three people, and we find this later on in chapter 9, verse 57, three people who were interested in being followers of Jesus. And it says this, as they were walking along, someone said to Jesus, "I will follow you wherever you go." But Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens to live in and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place even to lay his head." Jesus turned to another guy who was standing by, and he said, "Come, follow me." And the man agreed, and he said, "Yes." He said, "But, Lord, first let me return home and bury my father." But Jesus told him, "Let the spiritually dead bury their own dead. Your duty is to go and preach about the kingdom of God." And in verse 61, there was a third person. He said, "Yes, Lord, I will follow you, but first let me say goodbye to my family." But Jesus told him, "Anyone who puts a hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God." So in this passage, we have three people who talked with Jesus. They talked with Jesus that day, and they wanted to follow him. They wanted. I don't know if they had actually heard the requirements of what he was saying, but they're like, "Jesus, I'm with you. Wherever you're going, I'm going." They wanted to follow Jesus. Not only did they think it was a good thing to do, it was obvious that it was also an important thing to do. I mean, because they could have just sat in their seats listening to Jesus, and they could have thought, "Yep, that Jesus thing, I think I might do that." But they actually waited afterwards, and they came forward, and they talked with Jesus. I imagine a lot of people would have talked to Jesus after he was finished talking. And so that meant there probably was a line, and that means they waited in turn to talk with him. And so they felt it was worth their time to come up to Jesus saying, "I'm going to follow you." See, but the issue is that Jesus knows exactly where our hearts are at, and he knew exactly where these guys' hearts were at, and he could see that there was something wrong, that there was a priority or two out of whack in each of these persons' lives that would prevent them from being able to fully follow him. Their priorities kept them from following Jesus. You see, the first guy, he's the guy who said, "I'm going to follow you." And Jesus said, "I don't even have a place to live. You know, even animals have a place to live. I don't have a place to live. No place to put my head." Now, let me point out for just a moment as we explore each of these priorities that the author, who is Luke, writing the book of Luke, does not make it a point to say whether or not these people said, "Okay, well, I'll follow you anyways." But he actually leads us on to believe that these three people wanted to follow Jesus, but then end up following Jesus because of their priorities. You catch what I'm saying? Okay, so these three people, their priorities were getting in the way of them following Jesus. And for the first guy, Jesus is pointing out, "Hey, I don't have a place to live." And so we can pull some insights into who this guy was and what was important to him, that he's thinking, "Okay, what's important to me is that I have a home. What's important to me is that I have stuff. What's important to me is comfort. What's important to me is that I have a place to go. I have something that's mine. I am taken care of. I have a roof over my family's head, that everything's going to be okay. You know, I had a fear early on when I was just a kid following Jesus. And it was this fear of, if I fully committed to Jesus, I was afraid that he would want me to be a missionary in the middle of nowhere Africa with nothing. And that was going to be the rest of my life. I was afraid if I totally stepped over and said, okay, God, you're my full priority. Whatever you want me to do, I will follow you. And that he's going to tell me to do something that I just can't do it. I can't live in a weird spot. I can't have nothing. I can't know where I'm going to have the finances to do something. I can't have a place. I need to have a vehicle, or I need to have stuff, or I need... That's a priority. And for this guy, he is missing out on what an amazing adventure or future that we have. We just sang about how with God we have a great adventure, and that there's a future for us. But it takes prioritizing him even above stuff, even above comfort, even above not knowing if you're going to make it. It's kind of easy to hear a pastor share a story about how God's called them to move here or do this or give up this and relocate your family to come be a part of this place. And it's okay to hear that story, and we celebrate to hear the miracle of how God came through and how God's provided. But what about your story? When's the last time you were in a spot where you needed God to come through? That it was an only God moment for you? That you had to get down on your knees and pray because you're saying, God, I know where I am, that I'm supposed to be here, and I need you to take care of me. The second guy, there's a unique distinction to this guy, because Jesus actually turned to him and said, hey, you, come follow me. So this just wasn't a guy who said, Jesus, I'll do whatever you want me to do. This was a guy who had heard what Jesus said. He was following Jesus. He came closer to Jesus. He was next in line to talk to Jesus. And Jesus said, you, come follow me. See, Jesus saw something special in him. He saw that he was going to do something. Matter of fact, we see a verse later. He says, you're supposed to preach. You're supposed to share the message of the good news. This is what I'm calling you to do. But this guy's response was, that's great. Yeah, I agree. I'll come do that. But first, let me go home and bury my father. Now, I know at first glance, if we look at this, we're like, well, that sounds reasonable, doesn't it? I mean, if your dad's has just died, shouldn't you go to the funeral? But we're talking about a different culture and a different time. And if we were to explore what it was like in that culture in that time, what this saying, when someone said this saying, let me bury my father, that meant the obligation of being with my dad until he dies. And then I'll go do something else. Doesn't mean his dad just died. Doesn't mean his dad is dying. It means, hey, I'm prioritizing family. I have a family obligation. I have to take care of my dad. He's going to die. Then I'm free of that responsibility, and I can go on to whatever you want me to do. Now, there's a family prioritization, but maybe this guy was even the firstborn son of this family, which meant he not only had the family responsibility to take care of the aging parental figure, but that when the person did pass, he would be on hand to accept his inheritance. So maybe there was greed involved as well. And we're looking at this, and here's this guy saying, yes, Jesus, I'm saying yes. He actually agreed and said, yes, I will do this. But family, it's more important. Maybe even money. More important. And Jesus was harsh with them. He said, you go let the spiritually dead people bury the dead, but you've got an opportunity, a moment here where I, Jesus, am asking you. I have called you. I have something for you to do, and you're really going to walk away right now and not do it? Priorities. The third guy, he said, I'll follow you. I'll do whatever. I mean, he obviously is listening to what's going on with these other two guys, and we can assume that with these other two guys, you know, they're deciding, you know what? Yeah, I am going to leave. I am not going to do this. This third guy, he says yes to Jesus. I'll follow you. And Jesus says, great. That's awesome. Except this guy says, but just hold on. Let me say goodbye to my family first. Okay. That sounds reasonable, doesn't it? That he should be able to go back home and say goodbye. I've chosen to follow Jesus. And again, at first glance, we look at this and say, that sounds reasonable. That sounds okay to have family as a priority, but really, really, what's happening here is he is pointing out and making sure it's almost like he's leaving forever, and he's looking at everything he is giving up. And he wants one last time before he gives it up to either experience it, have it, talk to him, love him. You see, it makes more sense when we read the next scripture where Jesus says, hey, somebody who steps forward to follow me but has one foot back looking at what they are giving up is really not fit to be a part of this kingdom of God. You see, we do it all the time, prioritizing. We look at here, and right now, that's probably feeling a little uncomfortable because God's down here. And what if this whole thing changed? And God's down there. How uncomfortable are we with that? We're like, whoa. Pastor, you're really going to let that? I mean, please fix this. There's tension in the room because God's down in the bottom of the list. But you know what? We make decisions. If these three guys were here today, what would they be saying? They'd be saying, you know, I'll be at church, God, as long as the trails are bad up north. I'll be at church, God, as long as everyone in my family is okay and they all agree to come. God, you know, it's important for me to take care of myself. And so we say, okay, for myself, I'm going to take care of my body. I'm going to make sure I sleep, and I'm going to discipline myself on how I eat and take care of my mental health. But you know what also is self-care? How about taking care of your spiritual self and the disciplines required to grow in God? Oh, friends, do the people that you spend time with, I mean, I was hearing a quote just on the radio this week that's saying, hey, show me who you're hanging around with and I'll show you your future. Okay? Are the people you are hanging around with pointing you towards God, that have God as the same priority of where he's at in your life, or are they taking you away from that? Priorities. Remember, decisions are easy when priorities are clear. And if we flip that around, that means if we have our priorities out of whack, we're going to make decisions that are out of whack. Ones that aren't exactly the way they should be. And here Jesus was saying to these three guys, and what he's saying to you and what he's saying to I, is that the only way to follow him is totally. You see, when it comes to following Jesus, it's not about, hey, do I like how the pastor talks? And do I like the music? And can I make some friends? And is the time convenient for me and everything? No, this is something totally different. Jesus is saying, hey, the bar is up high. If we were to turn back to verse 23, it's also in your in your notes there at the top. Jesus mentions to take up your cross daily And we look at that and we're like, wow, yeah, take up my cross daily. That's what it means to follow Jesus. But let's just take a moment to look at this just a little closer. Jesus is mentioning take up your cross daily before he has ever been on the cross. Are you catching where I'm going here? That maybe this doesn't have anything to do with the work that he is about to do on the cross, but maybe there is another reason why he would mention it at this moment of time before he's even associated with the cross. I mean, he's talking to these people. And he's saying, hey, all this crowd, if you want to follow me, take up your cross daily. And they have no clue that he's about to die on a cross. So what is Jesus talking about? So in this culture and in this time, the cross was the most extreme version of the death penalty. It represented dying, and it was a humiliating dying because you were forced to carry your cross to where it was going to be used to kill you. And so everybody at this time in this culture understood the cross as death, and a really bad one. And so when Jesus is saying, take up your cross daily, he is saying, die to yourself daily. It's not about your cross to bear, or that you've got burdens or you've got troubles. No, to die to what your priorities would be, and to say, God, I indeed am putting you at the top. That it doesn't matter what these all are, it all starts there. Because here's what Scripture tells us in Matthew chapter 6. That if we will seek the kingdom of God, his righteousness, then everything else will be taken care of. That following God permeates every part of all those other things. That if we prioritize him, he's not going to leave you stranded, and you're not going to mess things up, but he's going to help you, and he's going to take care of you. But what does it mean to put it as first, to put him as first, to prioritize him? Well, let's look at verse 23 one more time, but let's look at a different translation. We're going to look at the Message translation. It says this: anyone who intends to come with me has to let me lead. You're not in the driver's seat. I am. It is letting go and saying, God, I'm yours. That means I'm okay with whatever he wants me to do, that there's a bigger picture here. That means I'm okay with who he puts me into contact with, or who he wants to separate relationships from. That's okay. That means it's okay with where I'm going to live and what am I going to do as a job, and to look at things differently when we think about like the job part, that we're like, hey, I've got to earn money. I got to have a place, but I hate where I'm working. But maybe God wants you specifically there because there's somebody there who needs him. And if your priority is here, then you would look at your work differently. Now, if you'll notice, there was a board that wasn't up here. A board that we could probably, if we were really to think about it, we'd say, wait, okay, if we're Jesus followers, this board should be up here, Pastor. And it's the idea of ministry. You know, when you follow Jesus, then there's something you should be doing, and sometimes God gives us dreams and passions, or sometimes we hear our church family needs help, and it's our ministry. It's something we do, and when we're following God, we do ministry, and then there becomes a debate of where ministry fits into the whole thing, and does ministry become before family, and family before ministry, and where does this fit and all? But we excluded ministry on purpose. See, a lot of people try to guard themselves. They say, you know what, I was at a church once where I said, I'm available to help, and they had me do 47 different things, and I had no time for anything. I almost lost my marriage because of it. I gave everything away and gave everything of me, and I got burnt out. You got burnt out because your priorities were out of whack. Because you created a board called ministry and you placed it above God. But that's not the way it's meant to be. You see, out of serving God and putting him as number one, then God puts things on our hearts and we make ourselves available. And whatever God asks us to do, we do. And it's just part of putting God first. That he's saying, give me you unhindered, without the dotted lines, without the if clauses and then clauses. Give me all of you. An author that I really love to follow, his name is Bob Goff. If you've never read any of his work, I highly, highly encourage you read his books. Bob Goff. Amazing story, an amazing man who loves Jesus, but he has a different perspective. As a matter of fact, he is the source for us putting up on the door, love God, love people, and do something. He's the source for this. But he has something that he's been saying a lot lately. Comes out of his latest book. He said, we don't need to call everything we do ministry. He said, just call it Tuesday. Just call it Tuesday. It's what we just do because we're placing God as number one. We said that the biggest losers are people who choose to miss out and what God has for them. Today we found three people who wanted to follow Jesus, but Jesus saw where their priorities were, and we can only assume that they that day became unfollowers of Jesus. So we asked, how important is following Jesus to me? Well, it's going to show up in your decisions. Just remember, when your priorities are clear, your decisions are easy. Are you willing? Will you place him first? Will you say, God, I'm going to gulp, starting today, say, you're at the top, and I'm going to trust you with the rest of the stuff. And that is the great adventure we've been singing about. That is the future that we've been singing out. Don't be biggest loser like these three unfollowers of Jesus. Get your priorities straight. I'd like you to bow your heads and close your eyes. We're going to pray. God, we're humbled before you today as we look to see that you carry a high standard in following you. That it's about getting it right. It's about getting it right and not holding something back. Not having a backup plan. Not still holding on to something else, but realizing you are the priority. And God, it's evidenced by the decisions we make in our lives exactly where our priorities lie. As a matter of fact, it doesn't take a genius. I mean, each person here can look at their neighbor and just by the decisions we are all making on a week-to-week basis, we can tell where priorities are. But God, we don't claim here at Focus Church to be perfect. We claim to be followers of you. And we know that we're on a journey. None of us is perfect, but we're all trying. And God, when you speak to us, help us to obey. And as you've been speaking to us in these last few moments in this area of priorities, help us, God, to do what you've already been kind of nudging in our heart. God, we give you us, all of us, no strings attached, no if-then clauses, no dotted lines and lines in the sand. We give you all of us. We want to make you the priority and know and trust that you'll take care of the rest. Help us with this. This is a hard thing, God. We ask for your help. But God, we also know that there may be those in this room who they've never really given their life over to you. They've been trying to do their lives by themselves, and maybe God's not even on their list, but God, they're searching today. Let me just speak to those people just for a moment. If you're searching today, today's the day that can be day one of giving it to God. When we give it to God, we are saying, God, I need you. God, I want you. And see, God paid a high price for you. You see, because of the wrong and the sin that we do, that is a part of our heritage that we will always do, it keeps us apart from God. And somebody has to pay the penalty for that. But God said, I love you so much that I'm going to send my son, and he's going to pay the price to redeem you, to pay your price. You see, he won't be dying for his own sin. He'll be dying for our sins. And because of his death and then his resurrection, it is now possible for us to be a part of God's family. It's part of us to live life as followers of Jesus. It's possible for us to live life with God first and him helping us take care of the rest as he promised. But it starts with turning yourself over to him. Like in the one translation, it said, you're no longer in the driver's seat. You're saying, Jesus, you're in my driver's seat now. I give you me. So if that's you, and you say, I want to give myself totally to Jesus, then I'm going to invite you to pray a prayer with me. I'm going to say it, you repeat after me. And actually, I'm going to ask everyone to repeat after me, because nobody prays alone here at Focus Church. But this is an important deal, not just something we just say or recite. This is an important decision. This is life-changing. This changes everything. And so I'm going to invite you right now. Let's pray. Say, dear God, I'm sorry for everything I've done. I need you. I want you in charge of my life. I believe you love me so much. You sent your son Jesus to pay the price for me. I want to live for you. I will make you number one in my list of priorities. In Jesus' name, amen.